Welcome back, Giants fans, MTN Giants Podcast, reacting to day two of the NFL Draft, which is still going on as I'm doing this. We're at pick number 64, so the Giants are up soon at pick 70, but I did want to react to the first pick and just, I don't know, I probably should wait, but whatever, like what the hell. 47th pick overall, the Giants did not trade up, didn't trade down, they stayed at 47. They took a safety, which was, you know, pretty much not a guarantee, but it was one of the more likely positions that they would target because of losing Xavier McKinney, who of course went to the Packers. They took Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota, who is probably, I don't know if he's the consensus best safety in this class, but he's up there. He's probably top two for sure. With Newbin, they get a guy who, it's not going to be an overnight replacement for McKinney. There's going to be some buildup, and he'll have to prove that he's a good NFL player like McKinney was, but he's ultimately going to be the McKinney replacement. He'll be the center fielder for this defense, the free safety for this defense, and the things that stick out about him is really good instincts. He drives on the ball very well. He knows how to bait quarterbacks into making bad decisions. There was a play I watched versus Nebraska where the quarterback was eyeing a tight end up the seam, and he kind of looked away like he didn't know it was going to happen, and then right as he loaded up the throw, Newbin jumped on it and had the interception. It was a big part, big moment in the game, too, with like a minute to go, tie game. So he's good with the instincts and making plays on the ball. He came in at, 6 feet tall, 205 pounds, pretty good size for a safety for the most part, and I guess the one thing I've seen that's been circulating around Twitter is that his RAS score was very bad, and I kind of wanted to clarify that, and I did tweet about this. So the RAS score, it pretty much gives an athlete, it grades a guy from 1 to 10 on how athletic they are and what their athletic scores are. So for Tyler Newbin, he rated a 3.67 out of 10, which is obviously not good. That ranked 672 out of 1,060 safeties from 1987 to 2024. So obviously his RAS score was terrible. But he was coming off a knee surgery right before his pro day, which is, I'm pretty sure, where these numbers are coming from. So I don't take these numbers at face value. I just look at this as the guy was coming off an injury. He probably did not fully trust his body yet, and because of that, he came out with a horrible RAS score. So I'm really not that concerned about it. Like, when you watch him play on film, it's not like he's a terrible athlete. I didn't get that vibe that, like, oh, this guy, he's not going to hang in the NFL. I didn't get that vibe. So I think he'll be fine. It's just one of those instances where it was bad timing. He tried to rush back for his pro day, and I guess shout out to him for doing that, but I'm not all that concerned about it, although people may bring that up, and you know, numbers are numbers, they don't lie, but I think there is a story as to why his numbers were so bad. He did have 13 interceptions in college. He actually was the all-time leader in interceptions at Minnesota. And I'm trying to think, they've probably had some good guys in their secondary. I know Antoine Winfield Jr., he went there. He was class of 2020, I believe, and he's one of the better safeties in the NFL. So they've had some good names. He's the all-time leader in interceptions there. He has good explosiveness. He's a pretty hard hitter. He's good at getting his crown of his helmet on the ball. Definitely caused some interceptions. He had some pretty good hits. I know PFF, who of course they have their draft guide, one of their weaknesses for Newbin was his tackling technique. I'm trying to find where this was now. They said he leads with the crown of his helmet too much, which I guess could be a weakness and definitely concerning for like a potential injury. But I will say he's good at getting the crown of his helmet on the ball, which is definitely a way to cause fumbles. And, you know, sometimes that can swing a game right there. They also said he's a lighter run defender and can be over-aggressive in pursuit of angles. So I thought he was a pretty decent run defender from what I saw, so personally I'm not that concerned about it. The taking the bad angles thing, I mean, yeah, that's a concern for his safety. I didn't see anything that was too eye-opening that was terrible, so maybe they're just kind of nitpicking there. But they're getting a guy who can anticipate very well. He has good size for a free safety, and you know, I would say he's coming in to play the Xavier McKinney role, but this is a new defense, and obviously in the defense with Shane Bowen in Tennessee, they ask for their safeties to do a lot, and that's why guys like Amani Hooker and Kevin Byard, especially in his prime, were putting up big numbers and were regarded as some of the, you know, best safeties in the NFL, or one of the best tandems in the NFL. So I'm hoping that this pick hits, and the Giants have had a pretty good history with safeties in round two in recent years. Of course, Landon Collins back in 2015, and then in 2020, Xavier McKinney, who of course went to Green Bay once again. So I would say both those picks were hits. Of course, Collins nearly won a Defensive Player of the Year. So if this pick is like that, it'll work out for sure. Once again, not concerned about the whole bad RAS score. He was coming off surgery. It's something that I can look past, and hopefully he's healthy and fine for next year. And if I decided to go wide receiver first for the Giants in my mock draft, I was going to go safety in the second round. So this pick makes a lot of sense. It wasn't all that surprising. I think the name that was linked to the Giants more was Jaden Hicks, so that's a little surprising. I figured it'd be him, but they must have felt that Tyler Newbin was the better prospect. So far, it's Newbin and Neighbors, and we'll see who the Giants pick at 70. This pick number 67 right now, so we're getting there. One of the guys I wanted just went to the Cardinals, Trey Benson, who was one of the top running backs in this class. I thought he'd fit the Giants perfectly, so unfortunately, he went four picks before us, but I don't blame the Giants for not wanting to trade up, because they don't have the most assets in the draft because of the Brian Burns trade, which costed them two picks. So ultimately, I'm not upset about staying put where they are. It kind of is what it is. So we'll see what they decide to do, and we'll react to that in just a few minutes. All right, we got our answer at number 70. The Giants took Andrew Phillips, a corner out of Kentucky, 5'11", 190 pounds. He went to the same high school as Kevin Garnett, for those who care or need to know, but the broadcast felt the need to say that. It's an interesting pick, especially over TJ Tampa, which I'm not sure why he fell, but I was a fan of TJ Tampa, and I was hoping that'd be the pick, so a little sour grapes on my part, but this is a guy the Giants were looking for, this prototype, and I remember seeing a quote about Shane Bowen's defense saying that they were going to look for a nickel corner who played with physicality, and this guy fits the mold. He is 5'11", 190. He can play outside. He did both, but I do think ultimately he probably will be a slot corner for the most part. I could be wrong about that. I'm just speculating, but we'll see. But 5'11", 190, as I said, plays with physicality. Good in run support for the most part. He does miss some tackles. He takes some bad angles here and there. And I feel like sometimes he'll look for the big hit rather than just wrap up. So that's going to be a bit frustrating at certain times. Sometimes it may work out perfectly. He's good at closing on the ball, driving at the ball. He did have no interceptions at Kentucky, which is concerning, obviously. But he really did not play much. His first 3 years in college, he didn't really play much at all. I know PFF had the stats somewhere about how many snaps he was playing. In 2021, he played 22 snaps, so nothing. 2022 was 363, pretty much a rotational player. And then last year was 710. So pretty much last season was his only full season as like a starter. And even, I think in some cases, he wasn't starting in last year either. So the ball production, of course, has to be better. He will be physical in the run game. And this is why in my mock draft for the Giants that I did last week or whenever it was, that's why I had Shaw Smith-Wade, who was the slot corner, because I thought the Giants were going to go this direction. I didn't think it'd be in day two necessarily. I think I had Smith-Wade in round four in my mock draft, but they did it in round three. And as I said in my mock draft, this is kind of how Joe Shane and the Giants have operated in like the third round especially, where it doesn't matter who the highest guy on the board is. And I do think, once again, TJ Tampa would have made a lot of sense there. But Joe Shane in round three, four, he doesn't care. Like, he's going to get the guy that he identifies, and he doesn't care about consensus rankings. And part of me respects that, and part of me is also like, I don't want you to think you're the smartest guy in the room and outthink yourself here. So I just hope that this pick works out. I mean, there is some bust potential. He is a bit small, and as I said, sometimes misses tackles, and the ball production is not too great. In terms of his combine, there were some encouraging things here. So looking at his vertical and broad jump, he was in like the 98th percentile for cornerbacks, which is awesome. A 42-inch vertical and 11.3 broad jump. His 40 time was 4.48, which I would say is above average. It's like 60th percentile for cornerbacks. His arm length is 31.2 inches. That's like 38th percentile for corners. So not bad for a smaller guy. He did have a really good Senior Bowl, which is kind of why he jumped up draft boards. So yeah, overall, I mean, yeah, obviously there is some bust potential. This is kind of how it is in the third round usually. I was really hoping for Trey Benson, who went right before them. I'm just hoping that they got this right. So the first three picks of this draft, the Giants don't have any more picks on day two unless they trade up, obviously, which once again, I'm not expecting to happen because they don't have a lot of picks remaining. I'm going to see how many more they have after this. It can't be that many. It's probably two or three. So overall for Andrew Phillips, I'm kind of just hoping he's a much better version of Grant Haley. Like if you guys remember him, the slot corner we had back in like 2019, maybe 18. Hopefully a better version of him, a slot corner who had physicality and can make some nice tackles. Here's a tweet from Jordan Ronan that just came out. The Giants are viewing Andrew Phillips as a slot cornerback first. Yeah, I guess I got that right. But they will also have him play outside as well. GM Joe Shane said they also view Cordell Flott as a cornerback that will play inside and out. Versatility is something Shane said is more of a focus under new defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. So there you have it. As I said, I just hope it's not a bust type of pick. It is the third round, so this is kind of a point in the draft where I guess there are some decent starting players in round three, but it just gets a little murky by this point in the draft. Overall, we have Tyler Newbin, the safety, Andrew Phillips, the corner, and then, of course, Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from day one. The Giants' remaining picks are pick 107 in round four, so that'll be tomorrow. They have pick number 166 in round 5, and then they have pick number 183 in round 6, which by that point I'm expecting, I don't know, hopefully some special teams help. Maybe they can find the starter in there. So far through three picks, I haven't loved this draft, but I don't like hate it either. Of course, there is some, like, as I said, bust potential for Phillips, which concerns me. And with Newbin coming off knee surgery, which I don't think was a serious surgery once again, but I'm just hoping he can stay healthy and that his athleticism gets back to where it was before surgery happened. As for Nabers, I have no concern. It's just my concern is who's throwing him the ball by his second year, which is a question that still is unanswered. So we'll find out, hopefully. As for speaking of quarterbacks and whatnot, there was some news that came out from Albert Breer today about the potential trade package that the Giants gave the Patriots before picking third overall yesterday. So apparently, according to Albert Breer, the Giants offered, of course, their sixth pick in the draft and then a 2025 first-round pick. And I think the way he worded this in his article was a little misleading because I do think there was more to it. Some people were saying that it was pick 6 and pick 47, so the Giants' first two picks in this draft and a first-round pick for next year to try and go from 6 to 3. The part that annoys me kind of is, like, why didn't they offer more? I mean, I was on record saying that I would have given up 3 first-round picks to get Drake May. So if the Giants don't see it that way, then okay, so be it. I'm just a guy on YouTube, so I understand. But I really wanted Drake May. He had the Eli Manning mannerisms. He wanted to be a Giant. It would have been nice. Anyway, hopefully that quarterback stuff is figured out by next year, whether that's with a veteran via trade. Not many good free agent quarterbacks hit the market. There's a chance Dak Prescott could hit the market. We saw Kirk Cousins this year. Jared Goff's a free agent next year. I just mentioned Dak. But what are the chances that those guys actually hit the market? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a wait and see. And I feel like trading for a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback, I mean, not to call Dak and Goff middle-of-the-road is a little disrespectful on my part, but guys that are like borderline top 12 starting quarterbacks, maybe Goff's a little higher than Dak by this point, but I would have him on the same tier. But not guys that I'm like dying to have. So that's pretty much where I'm at with that. So I do ultimately hope that they draft somebody next year. It just feels like the Giants are playing the long game here, which there's nothing wrong with that. I remember Joe Shane had that quote from his presser that I went over on Tuesday in my video right before the draft. And it was something like, we're not one move away or something like that. So like, he knows big picture wise, this is a long-term thing with this team. And I do you know, at least give him credit for understanding that and being a realist about it. But as we sit here now, I'm just not expecting 2024 to be the most enjoyable Giants season. And it kind of is what it is. I mean, we're used to it, sadly, but I was hoping to be a bit more encouraged and optimistic. I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch Malik Nabers and all that, so that's good. But in terms of, like, who our future quarterback's going to be, I still have no clue. And if and when this team starts out the season 1-4, 2-5, or whatever, you just know they're going to win those meaningless games like they always tend to do. So it's going to be another frustrating season, just like this past season. I'm just hoping that we know right away that Malik Nabers is amazing. I do hope Drew Lock starts a lot of games because, as I said, like, we know what Daniel Jones is. I know some people want to see what DJ would look like with a real wide receiver one. I can care less. I don't care who his receivers are. The guy still can't progress through a defense, so I don't care if it's Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss out there. Like, he is what he is, Daniel Jones, unfortunately. And there's also that injury guarantee. Like, if Daniel Jones can't pass a physical, I think next offseason, the Giants really, well, I guess they can get out of his contract still, but it's going to cost them some extra guaranteed money, I think. So, you know, it's a situation they probably don't want to touch. I was thinking that there was a chance, and I did see that report that came out. It was from one of those, like, NFL rumor type Twitter accounts, but they had a decent amount of followers. They basically said, like, oh, the Giants have interest in Spencer Rattler. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I was thinking if they went with Rattler, it kind of would have solidified for me that I don't think Daniel Jones was going to play next year, because we've heard the rumors that, like, they don't want him to see the field because of that injury guarantee. And if they went out and took Rattler, which they still can, because I think as of right now, he's still on the board. If they took a Rattler, I think they would just go into the season with the mindset of, let's just start Drew Lock and then hand this over to Rattler, you know, after 5 or 6 games or whatever, or maybe, you know, depending on how well Drew Lock will be playing. I wanted to look for the Giants win total for next year. I know it's kind of premature because the draft is still going on technically, but right now on 3 different draft sites, the Giants are at 6.5 for their win total. So it's not the most encouraging number, same as the Vikings, same as the Titans, same as the Cardinals, the Raiders. So not in good company. The only teams projected less wins than us right now are the Broncos, Patriots, and Panthers. They're all at 5.5. I wonder who the worst team in football will be next year. I would guess it's maybe Tennessee, but if Will Levis breaks out in year 2, I'll be completely wrong. Let's just go over what happened today. I mean, round 2 specifically, any big names that went. Keon Coleman was the first pick to the Bills. They traded back last night. They got him. Ladd McConkey is going to be the Keenan Allen replacement, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's probably what the broadcast was saying. I had the volume off today, but I could just imagine them saying, oh, here's the Keenan Allen replacement. So Ladd McConkey to the Chargers. Johnny Newton went to the Commanders. I mean, I like what the Commanders have done. I'm on record saying I would have taken May over Daniels, but hey, I mean, I guess that fits their scheme a bit better or something. Maybe they just like Daniels more. Oh, obviously they do. Cooper DeJean went to the Eagles, which kind of frustrated me because they just always get the best players available. I thought Cooper would be a first-round pick. I had him going like, oh, Blake Corum just went to the Rams. It's a nice fit. The Rams have that good running back, Kyron Williams, so I don't know what's going to happen there. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he was a projected early second-round pick, so that fit perfectly. The Saints got him in at pick number 41. Max Milton went to the Cardinals. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Raiders. That's fun. Addy Mitchell went to the Colts, so that's pretty cool. Pair him up with Richardson and Pittman. He'll probably replace, what's his name, Pierce. Is it Michael Pierce? Oh, Alec Pierce. Michael Pierce is that defensive tackle. So yeah, Alec Pierce will probably replace him. The Cowboys got somebody who I was a fan of as like a sleeper pick. I mean, not necessarily a sleeper. It's the second round. But Marshawn Nealand out of Western Michigan, the edge player. I liked his game. Rakestraw went to the Lions. The Lions got Terrion Arnold too, I think. So back-to-back corners, interesting. Can never have too many of those guys though, so I get it. Anything in round 3? I mentioned Trey Benson to the Cardinals. I guess he'll split with James Conner. It's gonna be a pain in the ass for fantasy football. Nah, nothing else too exciting. So yeah, I mean, that's I'm gonna sign off there. We're at pick 84 right now with Pittsburgh. There's probably like 20-ish picks left or so. How many picks are there? There's 100 picks, so Let's do math. 16 picks left in this draft. Well, not in the draft, but for day two at least. So anyway, the Giants, 3 picks in. As I said, it's I don't want to say meh draft because I feel like that's too much of a hater take right there. As I've said, I love Malik Nabers. I think that the Newbin pick was pretty good, but that slot corner pick with Andrew Phillips kind of concerns me. I just hope I'm wrong about that. So yeah, we'll see what they do in day three. Hopefully they find some diamonds in the rough, but I'll react to day three. Trying to think when this will be because I have a pretty busy weekend. I think it depends what time it's over at, but if not, probably by Sunday night, Monday the latest, we'll do a whole draft review. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the video. Leave a like, subscribe, all that, and I'll talk to you guys next time.